Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for those words. It was neat with Melania's prophecy, because at her concert last night during the Christian Christmas concert, I was looking, I don't know any of these kids, but almost every one of the songs there'd be somebody's face that was completely lit up, and it appeared it was their favorite song. And there'd be other kids are like, don't mess up, and some of them look mean, but Yahweh was communicating. That was me. I was glad. It was fear, though. People would say it was shy, but then you'd see somebody and they're just lit up. Yeah. And as a spectator, it felt like they were doing it for me.
Yeah.
And then another song will come on. Yahweh is communicating. He goes, find the person. Whose song is this one? And then you'll see one guy who's facial like this. All of a sudden, here it is. If those strangers could have blessed me that much by seeing them acting excited, how much can we do have an impact on people's lives? So just like your prophecy, just be excited, be joyful, make yourself excited, because they could have been faking it. It sure didn't look like it, but I was a beneficiary of it. Tonight I just want to do a sharing. It's going to be more of a sharing than a teaching. Hopefully it's not going to be a long one either. About exercising authority. And there's a funny story. I don't know if it was a SWAT team, if it was a police department. It was some sort of serious police department, because a phone call that there's an armed gunman at the zoo. So you can imagine, with all shootings and stuff happening, how serious this is going to be taken. I don't know if they had Kevlar and whatnot. When they showed up, what actually happened was one of the trainers fell down or something, and his sidearm, because whatever he was doing with apes, he has a sidearm to protect himself, fell out, and they had got it.
Oh.
And so here's an ape, and they're not dumb. Is this serious? Yeah. Somehow somebody goes, there's an armed gunman. Actually, it's an orangutan with a Glock 9 or Glock 25. How dangerous is that? It can be very dangerous.
It's like a small child.
Right? Yeah. And so then you get to hear the story about people watching, and there's this guy going, holy smokes! And then they get this, he's got the gun in his mouth, or he starts banging on it, maybe doesn't know what's going on. And the point of that story was this guy was doing a teaching on Ephesians, and how many Christians know with this, not an adult, what's the sword of the Spirit? What's our
big word?
It's the word?
The word.
Anybody else? That's what they're gonna say. It's Ephesians 6. Mm-hmm. It's the word. And our only offensive weapon is the word. What's the problem with that? Anybody else know?
You have to know it.
And so what this guy was doing a teaching, and to me, he was hypocritical, because he was saying most Christians, they don't even know how to use a gun or use their sword. They got it! But here's an ape with a gun. He goes, do you think the demons that are around you know if you do or don't know how to use something? One time I walked into Quick Trip and I saw a guy like an illegal alien. He gave me a dirty look, and I had a cheap suit on, which makes me look like I'm a cop. And I looked at him, I gave him a dirty look back, and I started kind of feeling like acting like a cop. And Yahweh rebuked me. He goes, don't bluff a demon who knows you're bluffing. And I went, what's that supposed to mean? He goes, you ever heard of the seven sons of Sceva? Try to cast out demons? In the name of Jesus, who Paul prophesied. Those demons weren't bluffed, but Yahweh was going... But this guy was giving this teaching about people not even knowing how to use a sword. You got a sword, do you know how to use it? And you're not fooling demons or anything else. Does anybody have any other translations besides... Well, we have a King James down there, but it's going to say it's the word. What does Rotherham say?
I don't know.
Take a look. Ephesians 6:17.
What a declaration.
Yeah, there's a big difference. So if you ask a Christian, what is the sword? What's the word of God? Elaborate.
What Yahweh has spoken.
What's
sword
it say?
Sword of Spirit.
What Yahweh hath spoken. In the sword of Spirit.
And so Rotherham's going to let you know that this word is not Logos. Logos is the word. This, the text. The word. But Yahweh specifically equipped this with a weapon, an offensive weapon. And what do most people think it is?
Oh, yeah.
Somebody walks in and they go, ah, get out of here, I got a gun! And they're like, you got it in your hand, but you're not intimidating a demon. It's the spoken word. So this guy's got his whole teaching about the, the demons would probably mock you. You gotta learn the word. But I was listening to teaching, the concept was really good, but it's the spoken word. Is there a difference? Because the word, by itself, you can see right there, anything in the chamber?
No.
What is this good for?
Nothing.
Maybe put nails in. You can intimidate somebody if they didn't know it wasn't loaded, but would demons know your load is loaded or not? I don't necessarily know. It's the spoken word. You see, this has a projectile, it has a primer, it has gunpowder in it. How do you activate the power?
With the gun.
Can you be more specific? Anyway. From a firing pin. If you don't hit this thing right where it's supposed to be hit, and it's got to be aggressive. The firing pin, if you ever hear, you ever heard dry fire on a gun, it's tink.
Yeah.
There's actually, when you got the trigger pull, it's all going to go pow. It's hitting that very hard. If you hit this thing with a hammer, what's going to happen? It's probably going to blow up. Probably kill somebody. Could do something. But if you don't use it correctly, how many Christians have no idea? They have no bullets in their guns. Because the word, when you put it into your mouth and you speak it, and how you speak it will release the power that's in it. And if you don't speak it right, it can still work. You still get some sort of credit. Yahweh just rebuked me recently, reproved me. These lessons. And it was good. Difficulty sleeping would be, I tell some people, it's easier for me to run 10 miles than to go to sleep. Like, how does that even make sense? I go, how come you can't run 10 miles? You know, I just, to me, sleeping. And recently, a huge breakthrough, and I can't take credit for it, because I got really good at sleep. I was getting ready to go through, thank you for my sleep. I thank you that I have a sweet sleep. I thank you for what your word says. It promises sweet sleep. I have scriptures. Trust me, if anybody's tried it, I've tried it. It's like, and you know what Yahweh told me? In a roundabout way, how he communicated, he goes, would you stop asking? Start telling your body what you want it to do. Get specific. And I was like, well, what's that supposed to mean? He goes, you woke up last week, 5 minutes before your alarm clock. Why? I'm like, well, that's different. I had a weird dream. I had to go pee. You want to get up or not? And I was like, so what is this supposed to mean? All right. I confess, I speak to this body. You had the deep sleep at the beginning, not at the end. Because my deep sleep's at the beginning. Morning people, they can't stay up. And then it's light. I was like, oh, I go deep sleep at the beginning. And I speak to this body. You receive 12 hours of sleep by 5 a.m. I don't care the distance. You have received and by 5:30... I speak to this body, you start having an exciting dream, not a stressful dream. I don't want nightmares waking me up if I don't have to. You will have exciting dreams. And I speak to this body, your heart rate will increase until it wakes me up. I can't sleep. I cannot go back to sleep after 6 o'clock. I can't sleep past 6 o'clock. I start speaking, I go, okay. And actually, what you just heard is me modifying. Guess what's happening now? I'm growing up. 40 years. Oh, please give me this. Did it work? Maybe a little bit. The purpose of your life and my life is to perfect what has been given to us. We've been given sonship of Elohim at the most costly price there's ever been. What are you doing with it? And are you getting better at it? Are you exercising the authority that's been given to you? So the sword of the Spirit is an offensive weapon, but throughout the Scriptures, using the Ruach HaKodesh, activating the word that He has given to you, aiming, placement. Have you ever seen something that went hunting in my life? We took you hunting. Probably the first thing that you would do is you just point in that direction and shoot. And after you didn't hit anything, you know what somebody would say? You have to aim. You actually got to look for small mirror. My dad taking us hunting once, he goes, you have to lead it. You have to shoot where it's going to be. And you start getting good at placement. And that's what we're supposed to do with the Word. You speak it in authority. There's a neat thing when it comes to authority and activating the Word. Because most Christians know what the sword of the Spirit is, but they're not, the demons aren't fool. What's in there? I don't know. I just take this book, right? They have no idea. It's conceptual. And I would argue to say most Christians are less dangerous than an orangutan with a loaded Glock, or this is an M9. Why? They have no idea what they have. And the Word is not as easy as a trigger. A trigger is pretty simple, right? Just pull it, and it could go off. You could actually, maybe not with this, but with a wheel gun or something, you could throw it down and it could possibly go off. The Word, it takes effort, it takes faith, and it takes exercising it. A little girl about this big on Facebook, big mastiff looking dog, it's Great Dane Massive, she's going, "Sit!" This little munchkin voice. This dog could put her whole head in his mouth. And the dog looked at it, humiliated. And he looked at the owner, and he looked, and he's like, "Aah!" And he sat. How did that little girl say it? The way her daddy said it. The way her daddy said it. When Christ spoke to the storm, how did he say it? The way his dad said it. With authority. And what's important is we have never seen Christ speak it. We've never heard Yahweh say it. Mark 11:23 is going to say, "Speak it as if you believed it." So use your imagination. Use your imagination instead of being your enemy of "it never works. I'm never going to get what I want." Use it to say, "How would I really act if I spoke to the storm?" And then you speak it that way. The same little girl. "No," or whatever, and here's a treat on the dog's nose. "No, no," but she said it like her owner. You have to say it. Yahweh reproved me again recently as I was I was doing my confessions, and for some reason I'm in my early 40s. I feel like I've perfected myself, and he's probably finished with me because I'm getting close to the top. I'm an adult now. No. We're all supposed to be growing up. The purpose of this life is we have a perfect father. Is it nice having children and watching them grow up? Is it nice when they keep coming, when they have to come back to you? Is that nice?
Yeah.
Yeah, they still need you. Do you think Yahweh is blessed when we still need Him? Yes. And that's why there's this faith gap. Without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing. He wants you to be dependent upon Him. So it's a father and his child together figuring things out. And how much did it bless the owner of that dog to watch their little kid dominate that animal? That's right, you better do it. I was praying for my body. One of my sleep issues is I've broken my nose twice. I can't breathe through it. Not without a lot of labor. So I got to put a breathing strip. The breathing strip's $30 a month, which is how much is a year? $360 a year. That's not cheap. Okay. Then I gotta put Vicks under my nose to really open things up. Just to breathe through my nose, because if I don't breathe through my nose, I breathe through my mouth, and I wake up with a dry mouth, then I gotta drink, then I gotta go pee. And so I'm like, "Well, this is ridiculous." So I started asking Yahweh if I could get a nose job. Fix my nose. I heard some girl, you did $3,000 to get it fixed. I'm like, "All right," and I did, and I got a no. Oh, fine, whatever. Like, that'd be kind of cool. Like, maybe I could look like Keith Urban. Get a new nose. And I was praying, and I was confessing my scriptures in the morning. That I have this, and I have that, and a lot of things that I'm confessing, I'm not seeing the evidence. Does that matter? I'm moved by what I believe, not what I see. And I'm a work in progress. And it's working. It always works. It always works. And if you don't see the manifestation and you keep doing it, is that well-pleasing to our Father? If you don't see results and you quit, that's it. I give up. I'm tired. I got my feelings hurt. I'm going to do something else where I get rewarded with results. Whoa. That could be disrespectful, couldn't it? I was praying, and well, here's my nose, and I'm like, "Well, okay, my nose is fixed. I confess that my nose is fixed." And I said it like that. And guess what he said? How do you ever expect to heal somebody at the gate beautiful when that's how you practice your authority? "Please. Oh, it didn't work. I tried." Aaron, you cannot exercised your faith and your power that I have given you at the most expensive price in the real world if you are not practicing at home. These practice tests are very serious. And they might, oh, it's not that big to me. Well, it's big to him. And if you want a little bit of it, then that's a blessing to him because it means you want it. Hey, Aaron, you got to take more authority. There is people at the gate, beautiful everywhere. And if you don't have faith to raise the dead June bug or heal your fingernails or your arm, or with me, I'm working on other things, I'm losing flexibility, then how can you do that? Not to say I couldn't, but worthy of little, worthy of much. Exercise your authority and say it like it and believe it and speak it and exercise these things. And just as we can watch a little girl and we can be blessed, go, look at that little girl. And then now imagine the messengers that were possibly watching us going, he's 100 years old, he's finally getting it. Is that beautiful?
Yeah.
Or somebody, I've been doing this for 75 years, I'm not changing, I give up. Or somebody goes, I will never quit working for you. There's a lot of work to do. And this life is a resume for the next life. And when is it over? And when is the sun coming back? I got work to do. I have faith to manifest. And he, as you walk out in direct... What profit is there to walk on water?
None.
Was there any profit?
Just to show others.
Did they get anywhere? No. He sunk. It's always profitable. And he will guide you. A lot of times we're waiting. Why am I not walking out in more power? He's waiting on us, I think. And if you have little bitty healings and things in your life, you take the word, you get the scriptures, you get the concepts, and then you start speaking in faith and he'll start guiding you. I was thinking about last night, I was speaking to my body, you will wake up. You can't sleep past 6 o'clock, which was ridiculous for me. Oh, I can, trust me. And I started, and I was like, and I did it again last night, I spoke it. And I got reproved, kind of. He goes, Aaron, you've always been a babe in this area. I'm not a babe in Christ. I speak in tongues. I prophesy. I've laid hands. I've done all kinds of good. But in this area, you've always been a babe. You're starting to grow up. And I'm like, wow. Turn to James chapter 1. That was Ephesians 6:17. It's the spoken word. How important are translations? But I am thankful for that guy giving the teaching because it gave me the food. Chapter 1, James, verse 6. But let him be asking in faith or certainty. What's the next word? Nothing doubting. Now, how do you do that? It's a process. Because it says if you need faith, faith comes by hearing. You got to speak it to get it, and it's a process. But nothing doubting. For he that doubteth is like a wave, the sea wind-driven and storm-tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord, Yahweh. A two-souled man unstable in all his ways, but boasting be the lowly brother and uplifting, whereas the rich man brought low, because as a flower of the grass he will pass away. For the sun has sprung up, which is scorching heat, and hath withered the grass, and the flower thereof hath fallen out, and the beauty of the face thereof hath perished, so also the rich. Instead of going off on a tangent, but it's talking about doubting and faith. Faith and doubt is kind of the concept in speaking things. The sword of the Spirit. Have you practiced the sword of the Spirit in speaking to demons? No, I haven't. Have you practiced it in this area? And it's not just the sword, it's applying His principles. Because the better prepared you are, the more useful you are. And if you don't ever get prepared for anything, He can't call you. You don't know CPR. You don't know the Heimlich. You don't know these things. You don't know how to do a tracheotomy. But it's my dad. Dad's done a lot of those things. How much more useful can you be to call something like that? You turn to chapter 3, verse 6. So my point with that, go to chapter 3, verse 6, is that when we're asking or confessing, doubting, nothing doubting. I believe that is a process. I don't doubt it. And how do you remove unbelief? Faith comes by hearing, and you're speaking it. Saying, if he asked his son to die the death of the cross, then why can't I have a nose that I can breathe through? Especially if this is going to help increase my resume and my faith so that I can actually heal somebody with a real problem. I totally understand somebody that needs legs is bigger than mine. My nose. But what am I doing to get to the process of doing something like that? And if I'm not doing anything, well then, I might be missing it. And sinning is just missing the mark. And so, and I put, this is neat, because it's chapter 3, so this is one of the scriptures. Would somebody read 3 through 6?
Chapter 3.
No, I'll read it. Let's see. Yeah, verse 2. For oft are we stumbling one and all. So this is the scripture that my dad had our family memorize. If anyone in word doth not stumble, the same as a mature man, or teleos man, able to curb even the whole body. For if the horses bit into their mouths, we thrust to the end that they may be yielding to us. Their whole body also do we turn about. Those ships also large as they are, and by rough winds driven along, are turned about by a very small helm. Whithersoever the impulse of the steer is inclined, so also the tongue is a little member, yet of great things maketh boast. Lo, how small of a fire kindle, how great of a forest. The tongue is a firearm. I put arm on the back of that. It's a firearm. Is a firearm good? Depends on what you're using it for. How many times have you used your firearm to start bad fires? Can't get those words back. There was a neat thing on Facebook. It showed a mouth speaking and bullets coming out. What's coming out of your mouth? And I remember going to Tim's house. My brother-in-law was in the Air Force. Handguns, very knowledgeable. And here's his son, you would think, from a military background. But as his son's cleaning a gun, the barrel's turning at people. And he's moving it. You don't ever point this at anything you don't want to destroy. Ever. Ever. And I'm looking at him. I marvel that the son of somebody in the military doesn't know how to handle a firearm. And he's, let's just say, this is the barrel. He's doing this. He's talking. He's doing this. I'm watching him going, you have no respect for what is in your hand. How much more so with me and my mouth, my words, and the things that I am not controlling when they come out? Will I be held accountable for everything that comes out of my mouth? Absolutely. And he has given to us great authority and power. And how are you using it? And you can imagine, not that I don't want to give any extra credit or anything for the adversaries, but if they're watching you, and all of a sudden somebody handles this like a samurai sword, it's got this here, he practices every day on it, he cleans it, he greases it, if the gangbangers and the robbers aren't going to break into that guy's house, he knows how to shoot. He's actually looking forward to practicing what he has. Not that he wants a conflict, but he's ready. Other people that are using it for a hammer, it's got laying around, the people, then what's going to happen? Easier targets. But let us have angels watching us and be like with Gideon, man of valor, you're ready. They're watching something. Mark 11:22. So I put it, the tongue is a firearm. And I was at the gym, and since like last year, I hired a personal trainer. I didn't know why, and then I was going to go on some trips. And as I started learning how to do a little more bodybuilding instead of heavy lifting, all of a sudden I shifted. Now I'm not doing heavy lifting; I'm doing more bodybuilding and stuff like that. And then I got corrected, as a father corrects his son. If you're not being corrected, he's correcting us. He's growing us up. He goes, why aren't you lifting anything heavy? I go, well, first of all, I don't want to hurt anything. I've hurt a lot of things. Second of all, I'm being smart. The third, I don't need to do it anymore. And he corrected me and he said, "You understand, Aaron, do you understand the concept? If you don't use it, you lose it. If you don't exercise it, you're going to lose it. If you don't stretch, you're going to lose your flexibility.
If you don't run, you'll lose your endurance. You have to exercise it. And in this case, what he was pushing me at is exercising your faith. Aaron, you need to lift something heavy. And I got this, you need to exercise this. And so I exercise it, but your faith is like a muscle. And if you're not exercising, what we should do is be working on it to increase it, to become full grown. A grown up in all areas. And I think all of us have areas in our life that maybe we don't see so clear. But our loved ones would, to say you are an infant in this area. Or a child. Not that we're to pick on anybody, but to say we can really improve this if you ever want help. As I got to just improve just sleeping. Would somebody read verse 22 and 23?
22, did you say?
22 and 23.
And answering, Yahushua saith unto them, have faith in God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be lifted up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that which what he speaketh cometh to pass, it shall be his.
And so in this scripture, it literally says, have Yahweh's faith. Or the faith of Yahweh, or have Yahweh's faith. And how do you have it? What's the process here? How do you have it? Somebody else tell me.
What?
How do you have his faith? How do they explain the text?
You can't doubt in your heart. That's how you...
Okay, and then?
You believe what you speak, that it will come to pass. You believe that what you're speaking will come to pass.
You have to speak it. You have to release it. And it's up to you. And what profit is there to actually moving a mountain? Mm-hmm. You should try that a lot. Never got anywhere with it. What a waste of time. I'm going to get over here. I'm going to work on something that I can see some profit. What's the profit of cursing a fig tree? The purpose isn't the profit. My understanding, the purpose is get to work that we have inherited, and we, the most valuable thing there is ever on the face of earth, having God, Yahweh, living inside you, the Ruach HaKodesh. What are you doing with it? Whether it's speaking to a mountain, whether it's speaking to this, and a good way to start using and exercising your resume, because we will be held accountable. What'd you do with it? With my arm and my leg, I couldn't bend it. And I couldn't bend my elbow. And so in my case, well, I overused things, and this is just the consequences. And yeah, just my flesh, you got to back off. And I got a word of knowledge, you're supposed to run and get it back. And that's not Yahweh. I ended up running. And it did kind of come back. It was excruciating pain. So then I humbled myself. I went to a physical therapist. You know what they said? You're not using it enough. And if you don't start using it, what you see right now is the beginning of things really getting worse. You have to go the opposite direction. I'm like, you're going to better check that thing out. I have no problem exercising things. But they're going, you don't understand what's happening with this and this and this. You have to start using this, or it's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. So now I'm going, I got my leg back. Now with my arm, she has to she's scraping. You should have saw it. It looked like I got in a car accident, or I was allergic to something. She's scraping all my muscle fibers. And the whole arm's covered is one big bruise. She goes, can you feel that? I'm like, no, I can't feel it. Yeah, I can feel it, man. And she goes, we have to break it down to relearn it and retrain it. And this is how you get things back. The point, one of the things I wanted to encourage people is look at your deficiencies. Look at things that you wish were a little bit different. And in one hand, you're a victim. Don't focus on it. But in the other hand, it's like you got a new tools, a whole new tool case to fix things. And something finally broke down. I got something for that!
Yeah.
I got pneumatic tools, or I got these things. Not that I want anything to break down, but I have been given the biggest toolkit there is, the most powerful tool set ever. Did you ever use it? Well, I have. And in this group, we've used it probably more than anybody. But when compared to Christ, are we complete? No. That isn't a put down. What that is an area of extra, not extra credit, an area we can really amplify our sweet savoring smell and say, Father, look at this! I thought I was doing great, and I just found out that half my house has never been cleaned before. I can make you really happy when I start cleaning that. So is it your health? Is it your finally start speaking it and exercising it? And what happens is, if you're humble, He'll start working with you. And here's how you take these things back. And you start subduing these things. And you start speaking these things. And what I'm learning just by telling my body how to... You will sleep. What's that doing? It's building a faith resume for something else. And in my own case, I have been blessed applying faith to myself a lot more than laying hands and seeing miraculous healings. I've done prophecies and stuff like that. Other things. But... Which means I have not arrived. Nevertheless, I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. Mm-hmm. Because He is watching and He is worth it. You and I are sons of Elohim. One day He's going to see, what did you do with it? And we could be a samurai sword. We could be cleaning these things. We start speaking it. And you could actually start telling people, what is the sword of the Spirit? And they go, you don't even know what the sword of the Spirit is. Not to put them down. I go, you don't know what it is. Yes, I do. It's a sword. Explain. What does that mean? And they go, it's the spoken word. The bullet in itself is not going to stop a firefight. But if I use it and apply it and I activate it with placement and if I exercise it, it changes everything. Father, we thank You for Your word and we thank You for helping us. All of us run a race to be complete, to be telios, to be full grown, to glorify You and Your Son. For that is the purpose of our existence, to fulfill Your calling, to make You well proud. And thank You, Father, that I saw parents last night so proud of so many of their children, mm-hmm. singing because they had applied discipline and now there is fruit from that discipline. I thank You that You are constantly working with us. If we humble ourselves and we ask for You to teach us, know, children, that I have more lessons and more classes than you could ever imagine. My lists are unfathomable. But if you want to know what kind of courses I have for you, look at Solomon and the wisdom that I gave him, which is an example of the resurrected Christ. Psalms, science, literature, there's no end. Learn how to apply and utilize the gift that I have inside you so that you can glorify Me and I will make you not regret a thing. Amen.